Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, it's been a little over 3 months since pilot Chesley Sully Sullenberger landed his Airbus A320 in the Hudson. And while the so-called double bird strike that led to the massive engine failure on United Flight 1549 didn't lead to any injuries, didn't lead to any deaths in this case, it did put a spotlight on the threat that common birds, in that incident, two Canada geese, can pose to commercial flights. Saturday Night Live, on the other hand, saw the threat from the other side.
Larry, you were one of the geese involved in the accident Thursday. Can you tell us what happened?
It was horrible, Seth. You know, I was with my flock, and then out of nowhere came this giant metal goose.
Yeah, it was an airplane.
If you say so.
Okay.
And it was just mayhem. I mean, one minute we were in a perfect formation, and the next it was a complete cluster flock.
A complete cluster flock is right. And if you recall at the time, the Post wasn't nearly as sympathetic as Saturday Night Live. Remember the headline the New York Post ran a couple of days later? It said, "Kill 'em all," with a big red bullseye superimposed over a picture of a Canada goose. And while that may have been a popular sentiment, it may not be very practical. You can't kill all of the geese or other birds near airports. But why is it so hard to control bird strikes? Well, historically, one big impediment has been that there just hasn't been clear information about how big the bird strike problem is and where it is at its worst. And that's beginning to change, as the FAA has finally made public now some of its data about bird strikes. And lo and behold, JFK tops the list with the most incidents over the past decade. So joining us to discuss the data and to talk about what the FAA and other local airports besides Kennedy are doing to prevent bird strikes is Richard Dolbear, former national coordinator for the USDA Airport Wildlife Hazards Program and the man behind birdstrike.org. Dr. Dolbear, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you, Brian. Welcome. I'm glad to be here. It's a beautiful day on the shores of Lake Erie, where I am, in Huron, Ohio.
Birdstrike.org. You have a whole nonprofit website devoted to bird strikes?
That's right. Bird Strike Committee USA, which sponsors birdstrike.org website, is a government industry working group that is designed to better understand the problem of bird strikes and to communicate among the diverse groups that must deal with this problem. You know, biologists know a lot about birds, but they don't know a lot about airports and airplanes. And aviation engineers and airport managers know a lot about the aviation industry, but very little about birds. So we work together and have an annual conference to try to come up with solutions that will satisfy everyone.
And so this FAA list shows Kennedy International at the top with 30 bird strikes since 2000, followed by Sacramento with 28, LAX with 16, down at ninth place. Why is JFK at the top of the list?
Well, I'm not sure which number you're referring to there. JFK in the last few years has averaged about, last year they had about 148 reported strikes.
I'm sorry, I may be looking at these numbers wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah. JFK is at the top of the list because they have, first of all, an outstanding wildlife management program there. And they're very meticulous about reporting their strikes. And therefore, the reason they have the highest strike rate is that they do a better job than just about anyone in the country of making sure every bird strike that happens on that airport gets reported to the FAA.
It could be that the number that I'm seeing, 30 strikes since 2000, refers to what's called here serious incidents. What would be categorized as a serious incident?
Well, a serious incident would be, and as it's tracked in the database, is when it causes substantial damage to the aircraft. That means that the engine is damaged, has to be shut down, or there's a major dent in the airframe that's going to require replacement or a major repair. And so that's what those would refer to. And I think if you look at JFK, here's an interesting statistic. From 1990 to 1994, and by the way, the database starts in 1990. That's the first year that information was compiled. JFK reported about 36 bird strikes per year. And in the last 5 years, from 2003 to 2007, they've reported 121 strikes per year, which is about a threefold increase. But if you look at the substantial or damage strikes or significant strikes, they've actually gone down. They average 4.6 per year in the early 90s, and in the last 5 years, they've averaged 3.6 substantial damage strikes per year.
Have people died? Because this is something that most ordinary folks have not heard about until 1549 went down in the Hudson, and of course nobody died in that. Are bird strikes killing people?
Fortunately, very few people, and it's really remarkable that we've had as few deaths as we have, because we've had a significant number of strike events in which engines have been disabled and aircraft have had to make emergency landings. But we've been very lucky, and we've dodged a lot of bullets, so to speak. Overall, just to put it in perspective, since 1988, and statistics that I've compiled worldwide in the last 20 years, since 1988, there have been approximately 230 people killed in bird strike events. And since the year 2000, and in the last 8 years, there's been approximately 66 people who have been killed, and that's worldwide. So the number of deaths is rather, every human death is a tragedy, but the number of deaths compared to, say, automobile accidents, where we kill over 30,000 people a year in the United States alone, is really very minor, and it's a real tribute to the engineering of our aircraft. They're able to withstand most of these strike events, and to the outstanding skills that our pilots have, such as Sullenberger. And so I think it's important that the public put into perspective that, yes, bird strikes are a serious subject, as we all know, after the Flight 1549 event, but and it's something airports and the aviation industry needs to address, but it's not, certainly not a reason to quit flying, and because flying is still by far the safest form of transportation there is.
Richard Dolbear from birdstrike.org reporting on the FAA's new data following the Sullenberger incident, finding that JFK Airport has the most bird strikes of any airport in the country, planes leaving from there. And Jerry in Brooklyn thinks he has a very common sense, obvious reason for that. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Brian. I was raised in Rockaway, and if you take the A train to Rockaway, you are passing through Gateway National Park. In Broad Channel, right next to the airport, is a bird sanctuary, a wildlife bird sanctuary.
It's the Jamaica Bay.
As you're on the train, you pass through the bird sanctuary. You can see the airports. You can see the runways. You can even see the observation tower. They are literally next to each other.
Dr. Dolbear, is that why for JFK?
Well, absolutely. JFK is in a horrible location in terms of bird strikes because it's of its proximity to Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge, and also the fact that it's right on the major migratory pathway of the Atlantic Ocean along the coast. And so it's an airport that was built and back in the days when bird strikes were not a concern. Gateway National Recreation Area was established, and Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge was established back at a time when bird strikes were not a concern, before the advent of the modern turbofan engines. And so JFK definitely has a challenge. But I want to emphasize again, that I don't know of an airport in the country that does a better job than JFK in terms of managing the wildlife issues.
What can we do? I mean, we're not going to move the airport, and I don't think too many people want to take the New York Post up on going into the wildlife sanctuary and killing them all. That would be ironic. So what can a conscientious airport next to a wildlife reserve do?
Well, they can do exactly what Kennedy Airport is doing, and that is you have a professional wildlife management team in place on the airport. They have an outstanding wildlife biologist on their staff named Laura Francoeur, and she oversees their program. They work with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and with the falconry program, and they try to make the airport as sterile as possible, eliminating standing water and any food so that birds are not attracted. They have various equipment to disperse the birds on the airport. And all of these things working together as an integrated approach keeps the problem under control. They're also involved in implementing an experiment or testing of bird-detecting radar, which is going to be put into place there sometime later this year, I believe.
You mentioned the falconry program. They use falcons?
That's right. They contract with a company that provides for part of the year during the summer months, the warmer months of the year, trained falcons, which are part of their integrated program at the airport. There's no silver bullet to this problem. It's hard work, and it takes a comprehensive, integrated approach, using a number of different techniques to keep on top of it. And the whole idea of it is you want to make the airport as unattractive to birds as possible, and when they do come onto the airport, you want to harass them so that they feel uncomfortable and decide that it's better to go somewhere else.
Jim in Sunnyside, before you go, and before we go higher in altitude, because our next segment is on whether to cancel the space shuttle program, Jim in Sunnyside has a slightly less aggressive solution, right?
Yes. Good morning, Brian. I've spoken to some of these people several years ago, and the contrast is that most mid-air collisions between planes and birds or planes and planes occur at nighttime. Occur in the daytime. At night, they're operating with their running lights on. Now, these planes that hit the fellow that went down in the Hudson hit him in the daytime, and it was a clear day.
You're saying if they had their running lights on
day and night, the birds would be able to observe them coming up upon them.
All right. What's the birdstrike.org position on that, fact or fantasy?
That's a very excellent question and observation. Research is being conducted as we speak on this very topic. How do we make the aircraft more visible, more detectable to birds? Mm-hmm. And one of the approaches is using not just ordinary landing lights or daylights, but pulsating lights, and also having the pulse rate vary so that it gives the aircraft a better sense of something coming very fast at it. And finally, birds see in the ultraviolet range of light beyond what humans see. And so adding a ultraviolet wavelength component to the lighting, and perhaps even reflecting paint on the front of the aircraft, all of these things I think has potential, and they're not operational as we speak now, but they are being actively looked at, and I think we'll see some things along this line in the near future.
20 seconds. Why wouldn't a little bird see a big airplane coming at it 100 miles an hour?
Well, I don't know. I think just a lot of times that aircraft is not something they've evolved to look at, and it doesn't show movement to them if they're just looking at it straight on. And remember, almost all of the noise of modern turbofan aircraft are out the back. there's no noise coming out the front, so the bird has no auditory cue either.
All right. Richard Dolby, a former national coordinator for the USDA Airport Wildlife Hazards Program, the man behind birdstrike.org, talking to us about the FAA's new report following up on the landing in the Hudson incident. JFK has the most bird strikes of any airport in the nation. Thanks a lot, Dr. Dolbier.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Should NASA cancel the space shuttle program next? They have to make that decision by Thursday, but nobody's in charge of NASA right now. Stay with us.